Persigo Press presents the Henry Rios Mysteries podcast. Hello, this is Michael Nava, author of a series of crime novels featuring Henry Rios, a gay Mexican-American criminal defense lawyer, and the producer of this podcast. Today we present Lay Your Sleeping Head, the first novel in the series. Lay Your Sleeping Head opens in the summer of 1982 in the fictional town of Linden, California, 30 miles south of San Francisco. Linden is the home of the prestigious university of the same name, founded in the 19th century by railroad tycoon Grover Linden. Henry Rios is a public defender, born and raised in a small town in California's Central Valley and from a working-class Mexican-American family. He is a graduate of Linden University and its top-ranked law school. In 1982, there is no internet. People smoke in bars and on airplanes. Most gay men are closeted, and no one has heard of AIDS. It's an America where 83% of the people identify as white, 85% as Christian, and 83% say that homosexuality is morally wrong. Ronald Wilson Reagan, who once declared that trees cause more pollution than automobiles, is the president of the United States. In this episode, an unforeseen death seems to put an end to Rios' search for Hugh's killer.
Henry, wake up, buddy.
Hey, Freddie.
I can think of a lot of defense lawyers I'd like to see behind bars, but you're not one of them.
I didn't kill Aaron.
I know that. The neighbor who called 911 saw the whole thing, including how you tried to stop the shooter and he clubbed you. Why did you pick up the gun? The cops could have shot you.
I was dazed. Maybe I was afraid he'd come back for it. I wasn't thinking straight.
You should have been taken to the hospital. You might have been concussed.
I'm fine.
You get a look at the shooter?
About my height. White, athletic build. He was dressed in dark clothes and wearing gloves and a stocking cap. I only saw his face for a few seconds. He had a mustache. Not old.
White, young guy with a mustache. That narrows it down. The department's treating this as a home invasion robbery that you interrupted. What were you doing there?
Aaron worked at the law firm that represents Judge Perez. He called me drunk and told me he had something to tell me about Hugh. Said I had it all wrong.
Had what all wrong?
I don't know. He was dead when I got there. It's the judge. He was behind this. He had Aaron killed.
I don't see how, Henry. Judge Perez died this morning.
What?
Brain cancer. Sit tight. I'll get you out of here and give you a lift home.
I sprinted down University Drive toward the old quad at the end of a 10-mile run that had taken me around the edge of the university and into the foothills. The road in front of the quad was clogged with limousines and, in the midst, a hearse. I ran up the steps, came to a slow stop, stripped off my shirt and mopped up the sweat on my face and chest. At my feet was a pamphlet. I picked it up. On the cover was a photograph of an old man, and beneath it the words, "In memoriam, the Honorable Robert Prescott Perez, well done, thy good and faithful servant." The massive doors of the church opened and people dressed in black began to pour out. Then I got it. The limos, the hearse, the pamphlet. This was Judge Perez's funeral. I looked back at his photograph. In my mind, he'd been a powerful, twisted, malicious giant. Not a wrinkled old man with thin tufts of white hair, small, tired eyes, and a downturned mouth. As I stood contemplating his photo, a familiar voice called out to me.
Henry? Is that you? What are you doing here?
Finishing up my run. I didn't know this was happening today. You were at the funeral?
My dad asked me to come. He reminded me that I had clerked for the judge and said it was the right thing to do. I haven't talked to you since you got back from L.A. How was Aaron's funeral?
His dad kept saying it was wrong for a father to be burying his son.
You should have let me come with you like I suggested. Come here.
Don't hug me. I'll sweat all over your nice suit.
Forget about my suit. It's good to hold you. I missed you.
I missed you too. Missed this.
Listen, I have to go to the post-burial reception or whatever they call it. Can I come over afterwards?
I'd like that. Should I shower?
Oh, don't go to any trouble for me.
I got up in the middle of the night to piss. And when I slipped back into bed, I was wide awake. Grant was on his side, his long back turned to me, breathing softly. His leg twitched and he rolled over onto his back. Asleep, his face revealed the abiding kindness that was his essence. It was this kindness, not his fear of rejection, that kept him from telling me he was in love with me. He was waiting for me, for my feelings to catch up to his. It should have been so easy, and yet I held back. Restless now, I got up, slipped out of the bedroom and went into the kitchen where I poured myself a nightcap and I took it out into the living room. On the coffee table was Hugh's copy of The Little Prince. I picked it up, opened it, and read aloud. It took me a long time to learn where he came from. The little prince, who asked me so many questions, never seemed to hear the ones I asked him. It was from words dropped by chance that, little by little, everything was revealed to me.
Bedtime story?
Sorry. Didn't mean to wake you.
I reached for you and you were gone. I've never read this book. What's this? Where'd you get this picture of Hugh and me?
Hugh gave it to me. I forgot I'd put it in the book. He wanted to show me what it had been like before the drugs.
Hard to compete with a beautiful guy who died a tragic death.
This isn't a competition.
No? It feels like it sometimes. I'm here, but you're not. Look, I know you loved him, but he's gone.
His killers are still out there.
What?
The judge got away. But the men who actually killed Hugh, and who probably killed Aaron, are still out there.
Aaron? That was a robbery.
Aaron was about to give me some information about Hugh's death the night he was shot. It's too much of a coincidence to believe those things were unrelated. The judge had to have ordered someone to kill Aaron to keep him from telling me whatever it was he was going to tell me.
The judge was dying in a room at the University Medical Center when your friend was killed.
Who said he gave the order that day? I'm pretty sure the judge didn't plan on dying that evening. That's the only coincidence I'm buying into.
And what can you do about it?
The cops think like you do. Even Terry and the DA, Patterson. The judge is dead, the case is closed. But it's not closed as long as the killers are out there. I need someone with juice to lean on the cops and keep them from burying Hugh's murder in their cold case file. Someone like Hugh's great uncle. You know John Smith. Get me in to see him.
We've been through this. I talked to him. He wants to put it behind him.
But I haven't talked to him. Give me the chance to make my case.
When will enough be enough?
Do this one thing for me, Grant. Get me in to see Smith, and whatever he says, I promise that will be the end of it.
Smith isn't well, and he's not taking many visitors. You'll have to go through his head of security for an audience with the old man.
Who's that?
His name is Peter Barron. He's an old friend of mine, so I can get you an appointment with him. If you can convince him it's worth Smith's time, he can get you in to see him.
Thank you. I'm going back to bed. Coming?
I think I'll stay out here for a while.
Peter Barron set off my gaydar as soon as I laid eyes on him. He had short cropped hair, a carefully trimmed mustache, and beneath the pricey suit, a gym-built body. His dark eyes seemed friendly at first, but they had a hard glimmer. The longer I looked at him, the more familiar he seemed. I guess it was because Castro Street was packed with guys like him. Castro clones. Good-looking white guys with a sexual swagger, a lot of attitude, and no tolerance for guys who didn't meet their standard of hotness. For most of them, that excluded anyone who wasn't white, built, and hyper-masculine. To me, they looked like Ken dolls. I was trying not to dislike Barron long enough to get what I needed from him.
Grant said you wanted to talk to me about Mr. Smith's grandnephew, Hugh Paris.
I was hoping you'd talk to Mr. Smith himself.
Mr. Smith is a busy man. If you have information I think he needs to know, I'll pass it on.
It's about Hugh's death. The police and DA have been looking into it because there's evidence it wasn't an accidental overdose.
What evidence?
Bruises on his chest where someone might have held him down. Ligature marks around his wrist where he might have been bound. The injection site was clumsy, as if he'd been shot up quickly or by someone who didn't know what he was doing. There was also evidence at the scene that one, maybe two other people were present when he died.
I'm hearing a lot of might-haves and maybes. You say the police know about this?
They do now.
Do they have any suspects?
No, they've closed the case.
So why are you here?
Because whoever killed Hugh is still out there and the cops should still be looking. Mr. Smith is an influential man. If he leans on them, they'll reopen the investigation.
This is the first I've heard that anyone thinks Hugh's death was anything other than an accidental overdose.
I'm telling you now.
But who are you? Not a cop, not a DA, just some random dude. How did you even know Hugh Paris?
He was a friend.
Oh, right. A friend, okay. Well, thanks for the information.
Will you speak to Mr. Smith about it?
I can't bother the man with some lurid story being peddled by one of Hugh's tricks. That's what you were, right? A trick?
Call me what you want, but Hugh was murdered. I think his uncle would want to know that.
Yeah, your time's up, mister. What was your name again?
Rios. Henry Rios.
Yeah. Rios. Excuse me. I have work to do.
Henry, over here. How'd it go with Peter?
Oh, he's a prick.
I don't know what happened between you, but you're not being fair. Peter's a good guy.
He could barely be bothered to hear me out before he dismissed me. Called me one of Hugh's tricks.
I'm sorry it didn't go well. Do you want me to talk to him?
Will he be nicer to you because you fucked him? I mean, that's how you know him, isn't it?
Now you're just being a jerk.
I'm so over guys like Peter Barron. Smug, gay, white guys with their gym bodies, little mustaches, and condescending attitudes.
Is that really what you think of us?
I wasn't talking about you.
No. I'm gay, I'm white, I work out at a gym, and I even had a mustache for a while.
Are you smug and condescending?
I don't know. You tell me. I admire so much about you, but I don't understand this chip on your shoulder.
You don't? Look around this room. Here we are in the heart of the financial district. Lawyers, bankers, financial advisors. The only people who look like me are clearing away plates and glasses. You're not aware of it because why would you be? You're like a fish in water in here. I am never not aware of it. And by the way, a chip on my shoulder? That's condescending.
Look, I'm aware that life is a lot easier for me than it is for most people. Have I thought about why? Believe it or not, I have. And what about Hugh? Did you have this talk with him, too? Because he was a lot more like me than he was like you.
Hugh's father was insane. His mother was an alcoholic. His grandfather raped him, and he ended up hooked on heroin and prostituting himself. He was trying to overcome all that. So no, he was nothing like you.
You don't want a boyfriend. You want a cause.
Gentlemen, are you ready to order?
I was just leaving.
Henry, wait. I'm sorry.
I woke up in the middle of the night, still half drunk from all the booze I'd consumed to relieve my guilt from unloading on Grant. When it came to me with perfect clarity where I had met Peter Barron before. Met him twice, in fact. His voice was the voice of one of the men who had abducted me. And his face, I glimpsed it as he was scaling the fence in Aaron's yard just before he cold-cocked me with his gun.
You've been listening to Lay Your Sleeping Head, a Henry Rios mystery. If you enjoyed this podcast, please spread the word on social media. We depend upon your support to keep this series going. For updates and behind-the-scenes extras, visit us at our Facebook page, The Henry Rios Mysteries, or at michaelnavawriter.com under the podcast tab. We'd also love to hear from you. Message us on Facebook or email us at persigopress@gmail.com. That's persigopress@gmail.com. This is an abridged version of the novel, Lay Your Sleeping Head. You can buy the complete novel at Amazon. For this episode, our cast was Armando Rey as Henry Rios, Douglas Georgis as Grant Hancock, Debbie Durst as Freddie Patterson, and Ted Zolden as Peter Barron. Our director is Russell Kaltschmidt. Our sound engineer is Dave Peck. Music and sound effects were composed by Josh DeRosa. The episode was written and produced by Michael Nava. Thank you for listening.